Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, that's where we got to go now to bring in former NFL coach and new head coach at Grambling State University, Hugh Jackson. And Hugh, I want to dive right into this because as someone whose parents and siblings are graduates of HBCUs, I'm excited about what your presence at Grambling means for the school, for the SWAC, and for HBCUs as a whole when it comes to the landscape of college football. So what about this job made it right for you in this time and space?
First of all, Canty and Golic Jr., thank you for having me on. Obviously, it was just, when you think back to the HBCUs, Grambling has always been the King Kong of the HBCUs. And obviously, Eddie Robinson, what he did at Grambling, one of the greatest coaches in the history of football, to have a chance to go there and lead a program like Grambling with President Gallo and Dr. Scott, who's our AD, well, to me, it was just a tremendous opportunity.
Hugh, obviously so much of the conversation this year has been about the success that Deion Sanders has had at Jackson State. Did seeing any of that kind of stoke your interest in this?
Oh, absolutely. To me, being at Tennessee State probably was the eye-opener for me about what HBCU football was. I mean, obviously, that was a great season for Tennessee State. We had a four-game run in there, but we played against Jackson State. And I got to see firsthand what Deion's doing over there, and he's doing an outstanding job. Obviously, they got a big game tomorrow in the Celebration Bowl, and I wish them well. But it gave me just a taste of what it could be like, just the pageantry, the bands, the football teams, and there was some great football being played.
And Hugh, you mentioned the Celebration Bowl, and they're expecting a record crowd, a sellout, first time in that event's history. It's going to be 75,000 people there. They're actually issuing standing room only tickets in that game between the SWAC and the MEAC champions. And so I wanted to ask you, what does that say about the state of HBCU football and how it's valued now?
I think the value is definitely going up. You know, I think obviously what Deion's done, he's really opened everybody's eyes as to what can be done in HBCU football. Eddie George being at Tennessee State was another eye opener. Hopefully I can do my part over at Grambling, which I will do my part to make sure that we get more eyes on what's happening with these HBCUs universities, that there are some really good football teams and some really good football players. And now there's some really good coaches, not that there haven't been in the past, but I think the coaches have done a really good job of elevating and showing the talent and showcasing the talent that's in these particular conferences.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, talking to Grambling State head football coach Hugh Jackson on the Goodyear Hotline. And Hugh, one of the other things we saw, that, I mean, a major commitment, five-star talent now heading to play for Deion. Is that something you think can become more common now, especially with all of the different changes around player agency in college football?
Yes, I do. I truly believe that it can. I mean, the rules and the landscape is starting to change. I mean, I think HBCUs are where to go to have that opportunity to showcase your talent and ability and still have the same experience as you would any place else. And obviously, what Deion did with the young man, Mr. Hunter, coming out of his high school, just says now the eyes are starting to look everywhere, that these players want an opportunity to play and have one opportunity to showcase their talent and ability.
Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about what's going on in the National Football League right now. Just today, the NFL announced that they were postponing three games that were scheduled to go off in Week 15 between Saturday and Sunday into next week. And as somebody that wore the hat of an NFL head coach, how do you manage the game week being adjusted the way that some of these coaches are going to have to when it comes to the impact of COVID-19 on what their schedule is going to be for the next couple of days?
Boy, it's really tough because you really don't have any control on what could happen the next morning, let alone get to game day. You don't know what team you could be coaching or you as the coach could be coaching a team. So I think it's hard. But at the same time, everybody's playing with the same rules. And so the teams that figure it out, that understand how to make sure that their team stays as safe as they can, they're going to be the teams that have a chance to be successful. But this is an unprecedented week from what I've heard, that there's more players than ever before that are going to be out for this particular week.
Hugh, to that end, the competitive standpoint that you mentioned there in the way that teams deal with this, do you think the NFL was making the right decision by postponing these games? There's been a lot of players and others that have pointed out that now they believe it puts the teams that did make sure their players stayed healthy, did not get the virus, at a competitive disadvantage.
Well, I think you said it. People don't want to be penalized for doing the right thing. I think the teams that handled their meetings, that handled their practice, that handled everything within their building right, they should not be penalized because another team didn't. Some people are not going to handle it right, and I think the teams that did, they should not be penalized for it.
Coach, I want to ask you about your former quarterback in Cleveland Browns, current quarterback Baker Mayfield. He's been very vocal about some things. There's been some internal friction between him and head coach Kevin Stefanski. There have been some incidents where he stepped away from the podium and his media obligations. There have been some war of words on social media. So just your overall thoughts on where he's at in terms of his development, his maturation, and his standing with that organization.
Well, obviously, it's hard for me to comment on that because I'm not there. But I do understand, you know, again, Baker's a very competitive young man, and he wants to win, and he wants to do everything he can to put his team in the best situation. Obviously, Coach Stefanski, who was a coach of the year last year, had a great year. And obviously, you got to find a way to keep those relationships strong. I think those two men, I think they're very good men. I mean, obviously, Kevin Stefanski is sensational. So him and Baker's got to find a way to mend these rifts because they're right in the chase of making it to the playoffs. Okay, so to me, I always get concerned when things start leaking out of buildings right now. That means, like you said, where there's smoke. So they got to figure this out because they're right in the middle of a playoff chase and they got a chance to salvage this here at the end.
Hugh Jackson with us on the Goodyear Hotline here on Canty and Golic Jr. Coach, you coached Baker when he first got into the league. So what is the key to connecting with him as a player? And where do you think he needs to develop most as a player still based on where you saw him and got to work with him in the beginning?
Well, I think Baker is I think he has improved. I think people don't see it. Obviously, I think he's dealt with injuries this year, and obviously he's fought through some things. But at the same time, I think coaching and players have to work together. I'll say that as often as I can, because I think that's where it starts. Those relationships are so important to get you through the week, to get you to game day in order to have a chance to be successful. Obviously, Baker's their quarterback, and he's their starter, and he's their starter for a reason. We drafted him number one overall for a reason, and Coach Stefanski's the coach. So they got to find a way to continue to get him to grow, and then the coach has to, within his personality, to make sure that he's given the quarterback what he needs to be successful.
Well, Coach, certainly that's going to be the challenge for the Cleveland Browns, for Baker Mayfield, and for you now in Grambling State. The challenge is to go out there and to continue to build on that legacy that you talked about in that program. So best of luck, Coach. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time today, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again down the road.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Again, that is Grambling State head football coach Hugh Jackson, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Krish mentioned it. The Celebration Bowl is going to be televised Saturday, December 18th, so tomorrow at noon on ABC, as the SWAC champion Jackson State University Tigers face the MEAC champion South Carolina State Bulldogs.
Let's go Bulldogs! Let's go Bulldogs! Let's go Bulldogs!
I knew he was going to find his way in there. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. Also, a reminder here, as bowl season gets going right here, we saw Middle Tennessee State, the champions of the Bahamas Bowl. ESPN Radio's got you covered for bowl game action tomorrow. The RoofClaim.com Boca Raton Bowl, followed by the PUBG Mobile New Mexico Bowl, the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl presented by Stifel, and the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Coverage begins tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I heard there's a great crew, Michael Olo Jr., Anish Roth, and Taylor McGregor, that are going to be on the call 9:15 Eastern on ESPN for that R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. A little Raging Cajuns, a little Marshall Hurd. How about it? How about it?
But yeah, coming up next, a limber Mike Golick Jr. too, right? Doing yoga in the morning?
That is true. We listen there. They're putting the Bulls putting on a little. Like, I think there's a run into a yoga session, Chris. So if I show up to the game looking winded, that is why. You know immediately. Also, I don't know why I signed up for all that stuff. Now that
it's
I say it out
question.
Loud here,
that's
so
a great question.
I'm going to try and work through that, as I am no doubt nursing some sort of beignet hangover in that. Coming up next, though, as we go forward along the NFL season, we have heard a lot of teams say they want to put it on Mac Jones to win games for the Patriots. What can we expect from him as the quality of opponent starts to tick up down the stretch of the season? We'll tell you that next here. Canyon Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canny and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golick Jr. and Chris Canny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, one of the things that we got to talk about, one of the matchups that we have to talk about is the Patriots and the Colts. Both of these teams are coming off of their bye weeks. Both of these teams are firmly within the playoff picture, although it feels like the Colts are hanging on for their wild card lives. The Patriots right now are competing for the number one spot in the AFC, so this is a big-time matchup between these two teams, and they're going to have a ripple effect throughout the conference when it comes to seeding. But just overall, when we start breaking down the X's and O's of this game, I think it's obvious what the Colts would want to do in terms of how they want to attack this Patriots offense. They got to stop this run game, and they got to try to put the game on the shoulders of Mac Jones. A lot of people have gone into this Patriots game with that same mindset, but very few people have been able to pull that off. So what's going to be the key for the Indianapolis Colts to force that Patriots offense to be one-dimensional?
Yeah, I think for that offensively, it's just going to be what they've already got in the middle of this thing, right? DeForest Buckner and company down State Street of this Colts defense put them in a spot that's different than the majority of the competition they face. Like, Chris, these teams to me are built remarkably similarly, right? Like, the Colts want to win ground and pounding with Jonathan Taylor on their offensive side. And then defensively, while it might not match the numbers last year, this has still been a damn good unit. And I just think the reason I feel like the Colts can win this game is because they're built like New England. Like, New England's been able to feast on teams that are, I think, a little bit comparatively, you know, thinner down the middle, have been built more in the line of modern football. This Colts team is built very much like them, and they have a quarterback that, in this spot, I can say I have more confidence in Carson Wentz being able to go out there and make the game-winning plays for the Colts side than I do Mac Jones at this point in his career.
Wow. Okay, that's an eye-opener for me. You're starting to sound like Dan Orlovsky. Like, you're drinking the Colts Kool-Aid right now. I don't trust Carson Wentz as far as Jonathan Taylor can take this offense. I really just don't. I mean, he's shown himself in the biggest spots this season to have some inopportune mistakes, some miscues, some turnovers. So I don't know if I necessarily want to get in the business of trying to determine which quarterback I trust the most, because I think the game plan for both coaches when it comes to the offense has to be to try to minimize what you need from those quarterbacks in order for your team to have a chance to be successful. Now, I will say this. The Colts, in my opinion, have the best offensive non-quarterback in the National Football League in Jonathan Taylor. These are reason why he's leading the NFL in yards from scrimmage and he's leading in total touchdowns. The guy is a monster. I did not expect this kind of performance from him in year two, and it's all set up for him by that offensive line that's in front of them. So if that Colts offensive line can impose their will on that front seven for the Patriots, then I feel like the Colts are going to have a really good shot at being able to win this game. But if they can't, if that front seven for the Patriots, Devon Godshaw, Lawrence Guy, Matt Judon, Christian Barmore, all of those big uglies up front, if they can find a way to be able to slow down that run game and get some wins in early downs and distances, making it second and eight or more, making it third and six or more, then I feel like the Colts are going to have a really tough time. So I think that has to be the mindset of Bill Belichick. He knows that that offense runs through Jonathan Taylor. And if Jonathan Taylor's rolling, then you're going to get the best version of Carson Wentz. So I think you have to be able to stall that engine, which is the run game for the Colts offense. And that would give the Patriots an opportunity to be able to pull off a huge win on the road and keep their win streak intact.
Canyon Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So, Chris, I just want to siphon it down to this and make it abundantly clear then, because I know you're a guy who has a lot of questions, understandably so, about Carson Wentz, who, outside of a few critical instances, has been much better about taking care of the football this season than some guys that we've seen. If it comes down to both of these teams, because they have the same game plan, they want to put it on the quarterback. We have heard the Patriots got a little bit of that bulletin board material this week leading up to the game of them basically saying, listen, they said all the flowery, we have respect for them stuff, but the Colts also said defensively, we want to make Mac Jones go win this game. If you've got to bet on one of these quarterbacks to win the game, are you saying you would bet on Mac Jones?
Yes, I would. Because he's also got Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and as great as Frank Reich is, I just don't trust Carson Wentz not to make that critical mistake. And I know that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels will have the guardrails on Mac Jones so that doesn't happen. And let's keep this in mind also, Gojo. Like, it's not like the Buffalo Bills didn't try to make the Patriots one-dimensional in that Monday night game they had a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the win also played a factor in Bill Belichick taking the approach that he did. But the Patriots ran the ball over 40 times. That was their offense. They only threw it three times. And they were playing against stacked boxes. I mean, you're talking about 8 and 9 man fronts. And there was nothing that that Bills defense could do to be able to stop that Patriots run game. The Bills defense statistically has been better than the Colts defense statistically when it comes to stopping the run. The Colts are 25th in yards per attempt. So they don't do a good job of slowing down the run game. They're giving it up at 4.5 yards a rush. So if that's the case, if you don't find a way to be able to get that shored up in this particular matchup, then good luck trying to flip the game and put it on Mac Jones' shoulders. It's just not going to happen.
No, and that is going to be the challenge for this Colts team is can they rise up above that? And offensively on the other side here, I don't think it's going to be as lopsided in favor of the rushing attack for the Colts on this one, because one of the ways that you can get Mac Jones to do that, even if that Patriots offense is going ball control, is if the Colts are able to get some big plays, and Jonathan Taylor is certainly capable of that. I think there's some options starting to develop in the passing game for them that are capable of that. And so, Chris, looking at this one here, are you picking the Patriots?
Yes, I am, until otherwise notified. Like, I'm going with the Patriots. I don't know how you can bet against them. From week to week, they've shown me the most consistency. And then you're talking about giving Bill Belichick an extra week to put this team under the microscope and game plan. Like, I just feel like he's better at it than anybody else in the National Football League, with maybe the exception of Andy Reid coming off of a bye week. Like, I trust Bill Belichick and what I've seen from this defense. They've proven themselves, and I think that they continue to find a way to keep that rolling. Because, again, you're talking about a team now that's right there in the mix for that number one seed. I get the Kansas City stepped into that spot temporarily because they won that game last night against the Chargers. But, I mean, if the New England Patriots win, they will be the number one seed in the AFC, and I think that's what this team is playing for, not just the division title.
I think you're absolutely right on all those fronts. I think the Patriots are the best team in football right now. And Chris, I don't know why. I think the Colts beat them on tomorrow night.
Wow.
I think they managed to pull it off.
Okay.
So we will wait and see. This is going to be an absolute slugfest.
The Colts are favored in this matchup, so, I mean, here it is.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going out on any limb, certainly, as far as Vegas knows here, and we can get to that in a little bit as we look at some of the other unlikely underdogs heading into this weekend with the Patriots, I'm sure, in a lot of people's minds, as one of them. We're brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. But coming up next, let's head to Detroit. Talk to Detroit Lions linebacker Trey Flowers, try and figure out how he is trying to help and give back and inspire change in Alabama, Detroit, and beyond. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And we go there now to bring on two-time Super Bowl champ, outside linebacker for the Detroit Lions, Trey Flowers, who's joining the show to discuss Alabama Appleseed's commitment to criminal justice reform and why this is one that is personal to him and how he's working to inspire change in Alabama, Detroit, and beyond. But Trey, before we get to that, I wanted to ask you about how it felt to be a part of that game for the Detroit Lions where you were honoring Tate Meir and the other victims from the tragedy at Oxford High School. What it meant to you to beat the Minnesota Vikings and to be a part of the healing process in that community?
Yes. Thanks for having me, first off. But, and, you know, I just, that was such a tragic event. Obviously, it was very close to, you know, where we play, our organization is. And so, you know, for us, just to kind of that whole week, well, you know, from the time that event happened to Sunday, you know, it was all about shedding light, being a little bit of light, you know, for the family, for the victims, you know, for that whole school, and, you know, just for the whole state of Michigan. So, you know, we kind of dedicated that whole practice week to them, dedicated that game to them, and, you know, it was just good to just be able to get a win for them and, you know, like I said, shed a little bit of light during the bad
and
time.
And your head coach, Dan Campbell, was certainly a part of that, saying the names of the victims in the post-game press conference, dedicating all of that to them. In general and in this instance for you, Trey, what's he been like as a leader for you guys this year?
He's definitely a great leader. You know, ex-player, so he still has that emotion. And, you know, as a player, playing for a coach that, you know, very emotional and just very passionate about winning, passionate about, you know, getting better. You obviously just want, you know, you want to play for a guy like that. So, you know, for him to just, you know, him to be a first-time coach and, you know, be able to, like I say, get guys to want to play, get guys to want to compete and want to fight, you know, it's definitely a bright future for, you know, the Detroit Lions.
And, Trey, you mentioned Dan Campbell being a former player. He was actually my former teammate with the Dallas Cowboys. But just looking at your coaching staff, there are so many former players on that staff. I mean, you got Deuce Staley, Mark Brunell, Hank Fraley, Antoine Randall L., Aaron Glenn, Kelvin Shepard. I mean, a lot of former players that are on that staff. So what does that do for you as a player when you have guys that have actually kind of been there and done that? They're helping to coach you up and helping to bring out the best in you guys.
Yes, it definitely brings a confidence factor to know that, okay, these coaches been there before, they understand. So, you know, what they're telling you to do, you know, it's not just playbook written. You know, they understand that, you know, things, you know, how it's drawn up in a playbook may not be how it goes in the game. So when you have somebody who, you know, just can understand that, it's definitely, you know, you can communicate better. You can, one would say you can kind of have the same eyes when it comes to just playing football and knowing that, okay, I know the playbook says this, but my instinct told me that. So, you know, like I said, it's better communication and just having that confidence of knowing that, you know, what they're telling, you know, is, you know, pretty much right, you know, when it comes to just, you know, the things that may go on in the game.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Lions linebacker Trey Flowers on the Goodyear Hotline. And, Trey, we know kind of a moving target for the NFL right now when it comes to the recent outbreaks of COVID-19 across the league. We've seen three games postponed and pushed back so far. As a player, looking at all of this transpire here, do you agree with how the league has decided to handle this?
You know, I feel like they handling it the best they feel like they can. I think it's damn if they do, damn if they don't, you know, kind of situation. Obviously, it's definitely unfortunate. And, you know, if they handle it another way, you know, some other people have a problem with that. So I think they're doing the best that they can as far as, you know, the knowledge that they have. And, you know, we just, as a world, you know, you kind of just don't know about, you know, how this virus is going to do, what is it going to be. Try to control it best you can, try to put protocols in, but, you know, it's, you know, some things are kind of inevitable. So, you know, like I said, I think that they're doing the best that they can. So,
Trey, recently the NFL aired its newest grant partner feature spot, highlighting the work of Alabama Appleseed, a Montgomery-based criminal justice reform nonprofit and Inspire Change grant partner working to overturn Alabama's faulty prison laws. Can you tell us more about your involvement with that and what's actually going on with the program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like you said, it's a nonprofit down in Alabama that, you know, working hard just to kind of, you know, get guys who've probably been wrongfully convicted, get guys who are coming out of the system, getting them help with, you know, getting them IDs, getting them identity, dealing with harsh sentences, you know, with, you know, guys who have nonviolent crimes and, you know, just overall just tackling the justice system and, you know, trying to make changes. So, you know, me being from Alabama, obviously that's, next door as far as Montgomery is. And, you know, the one thing about me, you know, I just kind of, when it came to just this role of just inspiring change and, you know, prison reform and things like that, you know, I kind of just, it was more so just, I wouldn't say forced, but it was kind of like, you know, it was a lane that I seen that need changing, that I felt that need changing. And it was, you know, a big issue that, you know, needed to be reforms. And, you know, I just got in the lane and just did my part, I guess, did my best. You know, obviously, you know, I still had to gain knowledge. I had to gain some understanding. And, you know, like I say, being from Alabama, I had a lot of family that was in a pivotal moment of the Civil Rights era when it was the march from Selma to Montgomery. I had, you know, uncles, my grandfather, they marched in it. Grandmother, you know, helped out. So, you know, just understanding that background of, you know, the things that they had to go through for change, you know, I just kind of took that as a role of, you know, me doing my part in today's society as far as what needs changing. So that was, you know, one thing that just kind of led me to gain more knowledge, gain more information. And as I, you know, grew with knowledge, you know, I saw a lane that, you know, that definitely needed reform. And, you know, I was just happy to just be a part of that connection with the NFL and the Alabama Appleseed. And, you know, like I say, I'm just continuing to gain knowledge and, continuing to just learn about it. So,
and it's fantastic work. The NFL is lucky to have players like you around helping out and trying to inspire this change in such critical areas like prison reform and the like here. Trey, we really appreciate you giving us some time. Best of luck down the stretch of this season. Good luck. Stay healthy. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Trey Flowers, Detroit Lions linebacker, kind enough to join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, coming up next, we've talked so much about COVID-19. We'll talk about the status of one player in the NFL that will have nothing to do with the virus heading into this week's game. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Trying to set the mood here on a Friday. Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet passenger is injured in a car accident, get help paying the vet expenses. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Get a quote at progressive.com. And Gojo, we'll get into what we need to see from Dak Prescott against my awful New York football Giants in a little while. But right now, we got to talk about this breaking news from the NFL with them postponing several games that were scheduled to go off on Saturday and Sunday in Week 15. So the game scheduled for Saturday between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Cleveland Browns is going to be moved to Monday. And the game against the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks, as well as the Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles, is going to be moved to Tuesday. So your initial reaction when you heard that the NFL was actually going to go ahead and postpone these games because of the COVID outbreaks with those respective clubs?
I haven't figured it out yet, Chris, but I have to imagine there's a financial reason why this is happening, right? Because on the surface, I look at this, and most of the complaints I heard leading up was, all right, you're going to have so many players being signed off practice squads, guys being signed off the street that are going to get thrown into critical situations, that it's going to make it a player safety issue in some ways for the other guys on the field in this spot, just not being able to field a suitable roster here. But I know the NFL well enough to know that that's not the reason they're going to make these decisions. So I haven't figured it out yet, but there's got to be some money involved in this, Chris, because you pointed out by them moving these games, there's going to be issues now with the time slots where sponsors, the television partners were all initially expecting to be able to have these games played. That's going to change how some of this money changes hands.
Not to mention the in-stadium game day revenue that you're talking about, concessions, yeah, tickets, parking, all of those different things, having to make that adjustment because you can't assume that the fans that were scheduled to show up on games this weekend are going to be available to show up on Monday and Tuesday. So I think there's an extra layer to that, and there's probably going to have to be concessions made on both sides with the owners and the players, because the owners were very clear this offseason when it came to COVID and the protocols that they laid out. They weren't going to be the only ones absorbing the losses for a second consecutive season as it pertained to scheduling and COVID outbreaks. So I'm interested to see what the NFLPA and the NFL owners come to in terms of how they're going to handle that and the potential salary cap implications for 2022. But just in the short term, you have to have some level of concern now with what's going to happen with the integrity of the rest of the regular season schedule. Because you don't have a ton of flexibility anymore, Gojo. There aren't a whole lot of bye weeks that you're talking about. So when it comes to making sure that you get all of the games in and making sure that you give guys' bodies opportunities to recover so they can play the following week, I'm really interested to see what happens and how they continue to manage, you know, the presence of the new Omicron variant as it impacts the NFL season.
Kenny Angola Jr., we have our weekend preview poll up right now on ESPN Radio. With, in light of all this information, will the NFL finish the regular season on time? And Chris, I think we always assume the answer is yes. This is a league that refused to budge on the freaking draft at the onset of the pandemic.
Fair
so they've
point.
Displayed a willingness to power through all this. But we've seen a lot of players complain about this, Chris. Do you think it's giving an unfair competitive advantage to the teams that did not, quote-unquote, handle the virus as well as some of their counterparts?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to cast aspersions because we don't know, and these guys could be acquiring the virus through no fault of their own. But we talked about this before, like guys being willing to make sacrifices, insulate themselves, not necessarily institute a bubble, but just limit the contact with family and friends in order to make sure that you were able to get yourself healthy and available into the game if your team was relying on you, and to also make sure that you were doing your part as to not infect any of your teammates with this virus. So there was going to be a competitive advantage for all of the teams that included best practices and mitigation techniques in comparison to teams that didn't. And that's always going to be a thing, right, Gojo? There are going to be teams that do things better than others. And so if you were one of those teams that were buttoned up when it came to COVID protocols, then you do have a competitive advantage. And so I get where some of the other players, like KJ Wright, for the Las Vegas Raiders, might have a gripe with what's going on with the NFL and them moving this game just because they don't have an outbreak that they're dealing with right now. That's on the Cleveland Browns side of things. And they would have had a decided advantage going up against this team on Saturday, seeing as how the Cleveland Browns had 24 players on reserve COVID list and potentially having to miss that game. So they're missing out on a competitive advantage by the NFL moving that game out a couple of days, because the Cleveland Browns are going to get some key pieces back as a result of it.
Yeah, Chris, I can understand where his gripe comes from being in the middle of this. I can't go that far sitting here at the 30,000-foot view just because there is so much, like you said, we don't know about the circumstances around all of this. But this is something that the NFL also invited to be a competitive conversation when they made the vaccine versus non-vaccinated protocols as different as they were. We said this became a football issue for a lot of teams early in the season. And so now when it pops up late here, it's hard to see players not perceive it that way as well. Plenty more on that and the updates about the NFL's handling of COVID. But coming up next, we will get to Giants Cowboys on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.